నారాయణ నమస్కృత నరుం చైవం నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతి వ్యాసం తితోజయం ఉదీరయత్ నష్ట ప్రాయేషు అభాద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవాయ భావత ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ
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 హరే కృష్ణ. గుడ్ మార్నింగ్ డివోటీస్. You can pull up the text, I suppose. Okay. So this morning our text is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 33. Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 33. త్రిభువన కామనం తామలాపణం రవికర ఘోర భరం భరం దాదనే వపు అలకాకుల వేతనాభజం విజయ సఖే రాతి అష్టమే నావద్యా త్రిభువన కామనం తామలాపణం రవికర ఘోర వరం వరం దాదనే దానే బబు ఆల కాకుల వృతానాబ్జం విజయ సాకే రాతిర్ అష్టమే నావద్యా త్రిభువన కమనం తమాలవానం అవికార ఘోర వరం వరం దదానే బాబు ఆలక కులావృతానాబ్జం విజయ సఖే రాతిర్ అష్టమే నావద్యా. యు కెన్ చాంట్ హరే కృష్ణ.
హరే కృష్ణ. త్రిభువన కమనం తమాల వర్ణం రవికర గౌర వర అంబరం దదానే వపుర అలక కులావ్రతానాబ్జం విజయ సఖే రతి అస్తు మే నవధాయ నవద్యా.
థ్యాంక్ యూ. ఓకే, వర్డ్ ఫర్ వర్డ్. త్రిభువన, త్రిభువన, త్రీ స్టాటసెస్ ఆఫ్ ప్లానెటరీ సిస్టమ్స్. కమనం, ద మోస్ట్ డిజైరబుల్. తమాల వర్ణం, bluish like the tamal tree. Ravikara, sun rays. Gora, golden color. Varam varam, glittering dress. Dadane, one who wears. Vapu, body. Alaka kulavita, covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp. Ananabjam, face like a lotus. Vijaya Sake, unto the friend of Arjuna. Rati Astu, may attraction be reposed upon him. May, my, Anavadya, without desire for fruitive results. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on this earth in his transcendental body, which resembles the bluish color of the tamal tree. His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower. May his glittering yellow dress and his lotus face, covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp, be the object of my attraction. And may I not desire fruitive results. by Srila Prabhupada. When Sri Krishna, by his own internal pleasure, appears on earth, he does so by the agency of his internal potency. The attractive features of his transcendental body are desired in all the three worlds, namely the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Nowhere in the universe are there such beautiful bodily features as those of Lord Krishna. Therefore, his transcendental body has nothing to do with anything materially created. Arjuna is described here as the conqueror, and Krishna is described as his intimate friend. Bhishma Dev, on his bed of arrows after the battle of Kurukshetra, is remembering the particular dress of Lord Krishna which he put on as the driver of Arjuna's chariot. While fighting was going on between Arjuna and Bhishma, Bhishma's attraction was drawn by the glittering dress of Krishna, and indirectly he admired his so-called enemy Arjuna for possessing the Lord as his friend. Arjuna was always a conqueror because the Lord was his friend. Bhishma Dev takes his opportunity to address the Lord as Vijaya Sakhi, friend of Arjuna, because the Lord is pleased when he is addressed conjointly with his devotees, who are related with him in different transcendental humors. While Krishna was the charioteer of Arjuna, the sun's rays glittered on the dress of the Lord, and the beautiful hue created by the reflection of such rays was never forgotten by Bhishma Dev. As a great fighter, he was relishing the relation of Krishna in a chivalrous humor. Transcendental relation with the Lord in any one of the different rasas or humors is relishable by the respective devotees in the highest ecstasy. Less intelligent mundaners who want to make a show of being transcendentally related with the Lord artificially jump at once to the relation of conjugal love, imitating the damsels of Raj Dal. Such a cheap relation with the Lord exhibits only the base mentality of the mundaner, because one who has relished conjugal humor with the Lord cannot be attached to worldly conjugal ras, which is condemned even by mundane ethics. The eternal relation of a particular soul with the Lord is evolved. A genuine relation of a living being with the Supreme Lord can take any form out of the five principal rasas, and it does not make any difference in transcendental degree to the genuine devotee. Bhishma Dev is a concrete example of this, and it should be carefully observed how the great general is transcendentally related with the Lord. Om Agina Timirandasya Gyana Gyana Shalakaya Chaksho Amlitam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sakajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namusute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhana Sute Devi Paramami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpataru Vescha Kripa Sundhubya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadha Sivasari Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Keshaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాన్ని ప్రచారిణి నిర్వేశేషాశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశితారిణి నమో మహాబలన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతి కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్యం ని గురాచిసే నమః అనందలీలమాయ విగ్రహాయ విమాభేదివేచాభిషిమలాయ తస్మి మహాప్రేమరాస్పదాయ చైతన్యచంద్రాయ నమో నమస్తే చైతన్యచంద్రాయ నమో నమస్తే చైతన్యచంద్రాయ నమో నమస్తే చైతన్యచంద్రాయ నమో నమస్తే Hare Krishna. So the text again, the translation is, Sri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on this earth in his transcendental body, which resembles the bluish color of the tamal tree. His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower. May his glittering yellow dress and his lotus face, covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp, be the object of my attraction. And may I not desire fruitive results. Hare Krishna. So, this is statement, or these are statements made by, from the heart, of Bhishma Dev, lying on the bed of arrows, wanting to see Krishna before leaving, and Krishna appearing before him to grant his desire. Krishna is very kind to his devotees. So the lesson we pick from it is, when we surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He will be very, very kind to us. He always is kind to us, but when we surrender, the kindness is more obvious to us then. When we don't surrender, He is still kind, but the kindness is hidden towards us, because then if we're not surrendering, then Maya is blocking the realization of the kindness of a Lord that's there. So Krishna was very kind to Bhishma Dev, because Bhishma Dev didn't have that kind of block. Not in Maya. He was a very selfless person. He gave of himself even when he had positions, when he really was supposed to be the emperor after Shantan. But look what he did. Very selfless person, wanting to serve others, wanting to serve his father. His father fell in love after his first wife left. And later on, when he saw Satyavati got attracted to her, Bhishma gave up his position as a crown prince. Literally gave it up. He was senior, he was qualified, he was well trained, but he gave up that position. So that shows the humility and the selflessness of Bhishma Dev. Now, those kind of qualities attract Krishna, because Krishna himself has said in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 8 through 12, what knowledge is. And he just lists things there, qualities there. And the first quality is the quality of humility, Amanitva. Bhishma Dev is a great personality, and his life and his words are very instructional to us, or instructive to us, how we should live our lives. We should lead our lives based on total surrender to Krishna. But how does it start? It starts with how we relate to devotees. If we relate nicely to devotees, nice draws nice. Nice things draws nice things. Nice thoughts draw nice thoughts. So actually, we're the ones that benefit from it. When some people offend us, if we forgive, we are able to take that particular situation out of our minds, and therefore our minds don't trouble us. Playing back the same picture, or it's like a video in our mind of how the disturbance came about. And if we're not careful, we might even start thinking things negative towards that person. But we have to understand that the super soul is dwelling in us, and the super soul is dwelling in that person also. And the super soul doesn't miss anything. How we think about others reflects on how others are going to relate to us. Because if we think negatively and therefore we start, you know, doing things negative towards a particular person for whatever the reason was earlier that's made us feel that way, we're not going to feel good about ourselves. Every time we see that person, then there will be this feelings of discomfort. And feelings of discomfort also affects physical body. The mind affects how the body, especially when you get older, it's more obvious then. So good thoughts actually contribute very much to our health as well as our sadhana. Both. Because if we're healthy, we can chant rounds properly. Srila Prabhupada said that we should chant a minimum of 16 rounds. That we should make that minimum. But the word is minimum. Therefore, we can chant more. And the more we chant, the extent to which we surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He's going to reward accordingly. Those who are surrendering more, they're feeling more of His love. Those who are surrendering less and trying to make decisions by themselves materially about everything, they're going on with business as usual, but they're not getting the mercy of the Lord. Not as much as they can get. So it's for all of us, and just instruction to myself also, for all of us to always remember that Krishna's love and Krishna's mercy is there, but we have to tap into it. It's on us to tap into it. If we start our day with Krishna, Krishna makes our day go well. Sometimes things may happen that materially seems like challenging. But even that, the way it ends, if we surrender to the Lord and remember Krishna is in control, because He says He is, you know, He is both spiritual and material belong to Him. So everything emanates from Me. Everything. So that kind of reminder to ourselves every day, morning when we get up, evening when we're going to bed, start with Krishna, end with Krishna. Listen to bhajans before you go to sleep or read something. But remind the mind of Krishna before. Put ourselves the mentality of the Krishna atmosphere. Create one before we go to bed. It helps a whole lot in our devotion. Krishna watches everything we do. Everything we do. We are the one in this reformatory. We should never forget we're in a reformatory. We do things. But we are in a reformatory. This is not normal life. This is jail life we're living. And home is the spiritual world. And the mercy has already been put in place by Krishna inviting, setting up guruship and inviting His pure devotees to come down. The whole parampara is all pure devotees. And they've come at different times and they've taught. And then what they taught has been recorded. And Srila Prabhupada has come and added more and quoted them. What they've said. And so we have a very, very, and written a lot of books on top of that. So we have so much there that we need to tap into. And read and learn, especially humility. Humility is very, 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 very important. And as long as we understand that it is a cornerstone of success in our lives, humility and at the same time, enthusiasm. Actually, Nectar of Instruction talks about being determined, being enthusiastic, and also being patient. All of that should be there, and each one is a lecture by itself, or lectures by themselves. But we need to have all of these at the back of our minds so that our devotion then becomes more advanced. That means we grow. Most of advanced seems like a big word. We supposed to be humble, so we never advance, but we are advancing. That's the point we want to make. We are advancing. We are growing in Krishna consciousness. In the translation, Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on this earth in His transcendental body. First statement, Krishna is the friend of Arjuna. In the 9 processes of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, beginning from hearing, chanting, remembering and worshiping the Lord's feet. Towards the end, it says being the friend, being a servant, and being a friend. The friend is one who thinks well of the other person. And that says they're a friend. Therefore, in our friendship with Krishna, we are servants, true enough. But we're not servants like the way we are employees, that sometimes we don't really care much about the employer or the CEO. Some companies haven't even seen the CEO. We don't even know what he looks like or she looks like. But they're still working because they deal with their supervisor, and they may have some, you know, decent relationship just to keep going with the work. Sometimes it's not even decent, but because of the paycheck, we need to stay in. So this is all very, it's not, nothing to do with real love. Friendship in this case, the intimate friend of Arjuna is Krishna. But Krishna can be an intimate friend for everybody. That's why one of the nine processes, it says being a friend, and then being also a servant. So we offer service, being attracted to Krishna, we offer service to him. A friend, when they offer service, they don't expect anything back. And then, if we, Atmanivedanam, surrender everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which the Prabhupada says so many times, sometimes we ask the question, what's the most important message that the Bhagavad Gita sends us? The Prabhupada fired back and said, you surrender, rascal. We have to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, that's where our happiness would be, no matter what we do. And as the years go by, in each of our lifetimes, we may go through all kinds of changes. And there's one thing that my, I don't like to bring my dear stuff into it so much, but this was my sister. And she was telling me, she's 2 years older than me. And sometimes we were conversing, and it says, every decade, when you're in your 20s, you think one way, in your 30s, you think another way, 40s, another way, 50s, then, you know, not only do you think a certain way, or certain realizations hit you, or hit everyone, as they get to the ages. When you get older, it's very, very, very obvious then, because then your body even reacts to your emotions. Your body reacts to your emotions. You feel emotionally bad, you're going to cramp up somehow. Constipation is very common, especially when you just cramp up, get an anxiety, you're going to constipate in your old body. So for those of you who don't have old bodies yet, just be careful of that, because it's coming up. You're going to experience it. That's why we keep the enthusiasm up and we keep the determination going to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, first by relating very well to devotees and being there for them. When a devotee gets into some difficulty, see that as an opportunity to help that devotee. When the devotee is in trouble, what can be done for them? And be the first to either do something concrete or suggest a good idea of how they can go about it, dealing with that issue. Because every time a devotee is happy because another devotee has served them, Krishna is also happy with us. And that is the secret. One of the important secrets to success in Krishna consciousness, the more we serve others, especially in time of need, we're there to help them. It's very, 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 very much to our advantage. So that's what friends do. Helping each other. So Bhishma said, Krishna has appeared on this earth in this transcendental body. Another important statement. One who understands, Krishna says, my appearance and my activities, this is in the Bhagavad Gita, does not, upon leaving this particular reformatory, come back. One who understands the birth, janma karma chame divyam, those who are born like that, Krishna, I mean, those who understand Krishna's birth like that, as a divine birth, and his activities are divine, then the mind is in divine consciousness. And we're connected to Krishna as small or infinitesimal parts and parcels. Thinking about everything about Krishna that you read or you hear, immediately look at it from a spiritual standpoint. And beat the mind if the mind wants to look at it as material, because Krishna doesn't do anything material. It's a separated energy. So he has appeared on this earth in his transcendental body, and then Krishna, Bhishma Dev describes it. It resembles the bluish color of the tamal tree. Now, his body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems. The most attractive personality is Krishna. Physically, he attracts, you know, if we see the way he looks, all his limbs are perfect. Lord Shiva described that also to the Pratitas when the Pratitas were going to do austerities, perform austerities, and Lord Shiva was very happy with them. He met them on the way. They didn't know, Pratitas wouldn't even know, didn't even know that Lord Shiva would appear to them, but he appeared anyway, and he gave them a wonderful prayer to recite as they went about, you know, when their renunciation or their sacrifice or their penances we were going to do. So that, it's also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's very long, it's very, I think there are three texts together, but it describes Krishna from the head all the way down to his toes, and it describes wonderfully different parts of his body and how his chest is, you know, strong the way it is, and then he goes to his navel and describes the way, even when the navel, when he moves in the breathing process, it says when he breathes there's ripples, and it's very beautiful to watch, even Krishna like that. So there is so much, and Bhishma Dev just summarized this one here. He says bluish color, we were talking about the bluish black type color of Krishna. And also that's why Radharani's favorite sari color is also blue. Because Radharani is definitely, you know, in Krishna Prema, the combination of all seven levels of Krishna Prema. Madanakya Mahabhav. And it's Sneha, Mana, and Pranaya. And at the Pranaya level, that's the third level, that a person's mind, or a person that's at that level, or an entity at that level, thinks of Krishna in a unity kind of form. Now, Gugubinda Maharaj tried to describe it as much as possible, so I'll just use whatever I can pick for it to show you. He says a person's mind, his thoughts, almost mirror Krishna's, for lack of a better word. So they are so much in union with Krishna that things about Krishna they try to do in order to remember Krishna all the time. And so when Gopinath Maharaj described that, then he said that that's why Radharani wears blue saris, because Krishna has a bluish black body. And so Bhishma is also describing that. His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems. Well, it's the perfect body, so anyone would notice that. May his glittering yellow dress and his lotus face, covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp, be the object of my attraction. And may I not desire fruitive results. So we should not, if we think more of fruitive things, then of course these, we're going to be reading, but we will never experience it. And so this is an instruction, even though he's saying by prayer for himself, Bhishma Dev, he says, may I not desire fruitive results. We shouldn't desire fruitive results either. A person that doesn't have material desires is actually thinking like a sannyasi. That is the concept below sannyas, not material desires. Everything is done for the satisfaction of Krishna's senses. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying, Krishna appears here by his own internal potency, even on the earth. And the attractive features of his transcendental body are desired in all the three worlds, upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Krishna is extremely attractive. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur described when a person grows in Krishna consciousness to the point where Krishna, by his own will, appears to that particular personality. It's described in one of his books, I don't remember the title, if I remember, I'll say it then, but it's written by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So the devotee, seeing Krishna's body is so intoxicatingly attractive that the eyes, the way Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur described, he says, all the senses would merge into the sense of sight. Because everything about us wants to see how beautiful Krishna is. And for this type of physical body, when Krishna, if devotees, fortunate enough to see Krishna in that way, they will not be able to deal with the tremendous feeling that they get, the tremendous feeling of love that Thakur says that the devotee passes out, literally faint from looking at the beauty of Krishna. Now, why is it that when we go to the temple, the deity is Krishna? We see the deity. We go to the temple, we also know, reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that when Lord Chaitanya saw Lord Jagannath, he fainted. But we don't faint, at least I haven't seen anybody faint. I certainly have not fainted, I'll be the first to admit. So why is that? Well, Lord Brahma describes it. Premanjana Chiriti Bhakti Vilochanena Shanta Sadeva Hridayesi Vilakayanti Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Guna Swarupam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Lord Brahma says, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shyam Sundara, Krishna himself with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, from whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. So my problem is, I don't have devotion tinged with the salve of love at that point, and therefore the devotee, we see Krishna, I see Krishna, deity. It's not deity of Krishna. Deity Krishna is Krishna himself. But then that feeling does not come. So my situation is that we're just working on it, trying to grow and grow and grow and grow as best we can by devotee association and learning from those who've grown more, and learning from the words of Guru. And slowly, we all will come to that point. Krishna is not, we say we come to that point slowly, because we grow and grow and grow and grow, and Krishna doesn't ban anybody. You can get to the point where you want to get in Krishna consciousness and not stop there. Keep going on and on and on and on. Because devotion gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter the more you involve yourself in it. It gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. But at the same time, Krishna also puts lessons before us, in order to get us to become more experienced, and at the same time, especially the material difficulties, they teach us to learn to detach from a material energy, because the material energy is not going to, in the end, give us much comfort. They only give us problems, and then we leave these bodies, and that's what's there. So. Nowhere in the universe, the Prabhupada says, are there such beautiful bodily features as those of Lord Krishna. So, it means, even here, nowhere in these three planetary systems, sets of planetary systems, would you ever see bodies just like that. So it is not from here. And if it's not from here in material, it can only be spiritual. That's even, by logic, you can even prove that. Prove it like that. So Krishna's body is spiritual. It has nothing to do with the material nature here. Although he owns the material nature, but it has nothing to do with that. Srila Prabhupada says Arjuna is described here as a conqueror and Krishna his intimate friend. Bhishma is remembering the particular dress of Lord Krishna. I'm trying to do the same thing too, but I'll put it out here. Let's try to imagine being on the battle of Kurukshetra. Not being Bhishma himself, but at least looking at Krishna and Arjuna from where Bhishma is facing like that. And this is what Bhishma had pictured in his mind, kept it in his mind, and he was describing it in this case here. And he was saying, and Sri Prabhupada is also describing here in the purport, fighting was going on between Arjuna and Bhishma, which means Arjuna and Bhishma are facing each other. Krishna is on the chariot with the horses. Therefore, Krishna is also facing Bhishma, so Bhishma can see him directly. Now, there's all of this commotion going on, people dying and stuff, but, you know, of course, there's a war that's going on. But when you look at Arjuna, you also see Krishna. And Krishna has put on this really glittering yellow dress. And his color is bluish effulgent. Effulgent blue and glittering, definitely that means that effulgence is there. Those are pretty much synonymous words. So, Bhishma is supposed to fight Arjuna, and is fighting Arjuna, but at the same time, he's looking at Krishna, the dress of Krishna. That's why Krishna is who he is. He's all attractive. Because even for a great general like Bhishma, and is fighting a war that's very, very important, he's fighting literally at service to Krishna. Because the reason we say that is even though he's with the core of us, this was Krishna's plan to get him to be on that side. You can go to a whole thing, Radha Maharaj has always preached about it, how Bhishma wound up on the other side, the way things unfolded. But this is the admiration of Krishna, just from the glittering yellow dress and Bhishma is saying, I should never forget that. Please let me remember that. He repeated that and says, I don't want anything for it to. The more we contemplate anything about Krishna, the less material we become. The less materialistic we become. The more we contemplate anything. Now this is Bhishma Dev talking about Krishna's dress. And he already is so excited about it. You can think anything about Krishna. What he's doing, what he's wearing, how he's relating. And we're talking earlier on about a devotee, you know, like this in this material world, meeting Krishna, and it's just this, how Vishwanath Chakravarti describes it, you pass out from just the beauty. Well, he talks more about it, because he says Krishna would wake up a person in that situation. And now, Krishna being close, the devotee can smell Krishna's aroma, and that alone is intoxicating. So much so that the person can pass out again, literally faint. And then Bhishma Chakravarti describes that Krishna wakes up the person from the fainting and this time speaks. And Krishna's voice is also so intoxicating that the devotee can pass out for the third time. And Krishna would wake up the devotee and then relate to the devotee based on the devotee's original ras with Krishna in the spiritual world. So that if the person is a friend, then Krishna will hold his hand. Well, that person's hands. And if they are in a conjugal relationship, then he will embrace. So all of that, you know, Vishnu Chakravarti described it. The first time I heard it, it just blew my mind. This is trying to imagine, I wonder what a situation like this. He is describing when a person, in still in the physical body now, but has served so much that Krishna decides to give him this extra and appears like that to him. This is what would happen. The senses won't be able to, this material senses can't handle it so much, the person will pass out 3 times. As Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes it. So there's so much there. And imagine when you go to the spiritual world, then you see most of the time, you see, and are able to relate to Krishna and everyone that's there in a loving way. So our home is one that we need to really, 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 really do all that we can to get back to, because that's where the real happiness is. Not just a question of the lack of anxiety, because it's Vaikuntha, that's there, true enough. But the real happiness, the bliss, bliss in the dictionary says the highest happiness. And that's what's waiting for us. So no matter what kind of problems that come in our lives, remember, we are devotees, and for devotees, it means Krishna is arranging for us every breath that we take. Every breath that we take, we have only so many breaths, and then we breathe our last one, and the soul comes out of the body. But the soul is coming out because Krishna is getting ready to take us out of this reformatory. Many, many, many soldiers, too, not Bhishma Dev only, they admire the beauty of Krishna. Those who are on the battlefield, they got elevated. Their next life was wonderful. Vaikuntha Loka. So many of them. So, yes, they left their bodies, but actually they got better situation. And that's what's waiting for us also. So, this is not something to play with, as Chir Papa describing here, less intelligent mundaners. They want to make a show of being transcendentally related with the Lord. And of course, since here in the material world, the highest, enjoyment is, relating sexually. So they go to the conjugal love because they look at the relationship of the Vraj damsels with Krishna in that material way. And we've already been told that if our activity, Krishna's activities and his birth are not looked at as divine, then we don't know what we're doing. It has to be looked at as divine. So within a conjugal relationship that Krishna has with the devotees, the gopis, is a divine relationship. Not like the one that we have here. Srila Prabhupada says, here in this material world, the highest enjoyment is sex life. In a spiritual world, the highest enjoyment is pure love. Devotees relate to each other like that. The conjugal ras, in another lecture, Srila Prabhupada was indicating that once you think about the relationship as much as you can as a devotee, the relationship between Krishna and the gopis, it should make the devotee that understands this less agitated. It should make you less agitated. But people go into that because they want to be more agitated, which means they have it going the opposite way. A genuine relationship with Krishna, for anybody, when you relate to Krishna, everything about Krishna should be seen as divine. Then we're making our way back to the spiritual world. It's very, very, very important. So, everybody, we have, of course, the five principal rasas: neutrality, friendship, service, and parental, and conjugal. They're all there, but each one of them gives so much bliss. And especially the neutral ras, when people think, maybe neutral ras, like a door, or grass, or rock, in the spiritual world. So how can that give bliss? Well, remember, if there is some activity, say a dance going on, a party, and one devotee is in a rock form, so they're not taking part in it, But how can they enjoy and be in bliss? Well, even here on this earth, on this planet, people watch their favorite sports and they get into so much, football, cricket, whatever. But remember, those who are enjoying it, especially if their team is winning, they're actually not playing. They're spectators. They're just watching. And just by watching, look how much they get, how happy they are if their team is winning. So just by observing, and what to speak of somebody seeing, with Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur described, seeing Krishna and the happiness that comes is so much that this body would pass out. If that much can be given to this body just by observing Krishna, then how powerful it is to be just be one of those in that situation of neutral ras, just simply observing. So those who observe also enjoy a whole lot, not just those who are participating only. So none of the five rasas gives us anything less than bliss. The soul is in bliss, whatever the relationship is. And we took that one because that's the neutral ras is one that people wonder, well, how can the things be? Well, by watching, you get transcendentally surcharged. So, Krishna is, okay, well, just a few more things then, because I'm looking at the time right now. So Krishna is saying that he is in the hearts of his pure devotees. He was telling Narada in Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text 35, Naham tishtami vaikunte yoginam hridayeshu va tatam tishtami Narada yatra gayanti mat bhakta. Translation is, my dear Narada, I do not actually reside in my abode Vaikuntha, nor do I reside within the hearts of the yogis, but I reside in that place where my devotees chant my holy name and discuss my forms, pastimes, and qualities. So to attract Krishna, he tells us, chant his holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And even now, with our levels of growth spiritually, when we get together in kirtans, like last week, week before last, I think, Philadelphia had chanting, and then this 2 days ago, Harrisburg had chanting, or 8-hour kirtans, to call on the holy name. It gives happiness, and Krishna's name is powerful. Therefore, my prayer is for me, for everyone, let us improve our quality of devotion by taking the chanting seriously first thing in the morning. Get, if not all the rounds done, most of them done. To start with the holy name, end with the holy name every day. And when time comes for us to get out of this body, we will remember the holy name. And that way go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So the translation again. Krishna is an intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on this earth in his transcendental body, which resembles the bluish color of the tamal tree. His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower. May his glittering yellow dress and his lotus face, covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp, be the object of my attraction, and may I not desire fruitive results. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So dear devotees, they can now unmute for comments, questions, realizations. I'd like to hear your own realizations in this process that we're in.
And thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Thank you very much for the nice class. And it's the way you're describing Krishna, we close the eyes, you know, I can feel that.
I'm trying to. It's wonderful.
It was amazing, you know. And we stand in front of deities, but you know, yeah, I do look at the deity. Yesterday we were in front of deities, but you know, the way you're describing, the way Bhishma Deva was seeing, it was amazing. That was really that feeling we should get.
Little by little, by hearing, but Krishna is giving us the mercy, in many ways. How, you know, his body is being described, and by the Lord's mercy, if we get happy inside, that's good for our souls too. Hare Krishna, just by hearing that. So let's Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy. So I think it's Kalpesh.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, accept our humble obeisances, Gosh.
Yeah, in your reference to, so thank you for presenting all this information, very valuable information. Can you, from 13.8, you were referring to humility, can you explain a little bit more on humbleness, or expand a little bit on humbleness in our daily life? How can we practice at the work? Because is it a state of mind, or is it a we approach it's more it is mostly viewed as when you are talking, that is how your humility is expressed, rather than a functioning of the mind. So I mean, if I am not fully. My definition is the opposite of humbleness is pride, because that results the distancing of consciousness from the God, and that is the big obstacle in the self-realization. Because all the attributes that comes, which creates a karmic reaction.
Humility. It's very, very important for our lives. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 13, text 8 through 12, humility, Srila Prabhupada describes, in a certain, quite a few levels of humility. But he talks about, not being, so much connected with wanting praise. Like that. Just people saying, oh, you like this. And so, sure. You know, they are thinking right that way. So, in that sense, humility means that we should try not only to be selfless, but we should also try not to make ourselves be all the way out there in terms of people, taking praise, and every time praise comes, it's me, yes, and I accept it. And, in the kami world, they do that a lot. They do that a whole lot. But in the devotee world, we should actually kind of play down. And sometimes people are even saying, I want to contribute to this particular project, especially if they're contributing quite a large sum of money, and people know that, some people might be envious, the person that's donating may, feel that people may look at them in a different light when they see that much Lakshmi coming from them. And so they say, could you take it, but also make it anonymous, And just asking for anonymity, that alone is one example of person that is humble. Now, a few points connected with humility. One is that when you are dealing with a situation, a disturbing situation between you and another person, sometimes that happens. There's a problem. If you really want to practice humility, see that problem as our fault first. What does it do? It makes us think of ways to resolve that problem. rather than trying to prove so much that we are the ones that are correct. Now, this is a little bit touchy because sometimes our mind will tell us, but, you know, there's a situation here and here's my point about it, and here's the other point that this person is saying, but I feel that I'm correct. Well, you feel that you're correct, the other person also feels that they're correct. And that's the situation you're dealing with. It's very real. And therefore, how do we express humility in that way? Hear the other person's side of it and understand what they're also trying to say. When you hear it that way and you say, well, how can I deal with this situation, with this person, so that in the end, our relationship does not get affected negatively? When that thought comes to mind, you will be very respectful when speaking to that person. You will also be careful about your choice of words when you speak to that person. Especially, you'll be careful not to use words that will make the person more upset, or words that are insulting, or words that are condescending, all those came out when you're speaking. And that is one show of humility. We can also pray to Guru or to Srila Prabhupada, your Guru if you're initiated, Srila Prabhupada or both, for help with our weaknesses. Why does weakness connect to humility? To admit that we are weak spiritually shows humility. If a person does not admit that they are weak, then they're going to make a show of being so advanced when in fact they're not. Is that humility? No, that's the opposite of humility. Another point about it is to show or to accept, not show, but accept that we don't know much about spirituality. And this is a little bit touchy for those who preach. Because they, you know, memorize lokas and this and that, and that's good. And Krishna Papa was encouraging it. But we should not let Maya think, make us think that because we've memorized so many slokas that we're better than other preachers. So we should accept that I don't know much of anything spiritual, because that consciousness makes us then willing to read and hear Srimad Bhagavatam lectures from every person that preaches, and not look down that, oh, this is a junior devotee to me. I've been here a long time, decades, and he's just 5 years old preaching. How much can he tell me? Or she tell me? No. That is not being humble. Let's say one more thing about it. Serve with high quality. Everything we do in service to Guru and Krishna and to the devotees, you serve with the best that you can put out, from your own effort and also from whatever you get, even buy for service. High quality. Because then it means we're serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you value the devotees. And that way, Guru and Krishna will be pleased with us. Final point, don't criticize. Don't criticize. See the good in people. Understanding that we all have faults. And if we dwell on the faults, then we'll be more uncomfortable, because the more you think about negative things, faults, then things, we just start criticizing the mind. Maya says, sure, you're better. You're better than them. Then here's your false ego kicked in. So we got to be very, very careful. Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hare Krishna. Glory to Guru. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Any other comments? Hare Krishna. Great. It doesn't seem like anybody wants to speak now. So, Masterji, so we could end it?
Yeah, thank you very much, Prabhu. I was just thinking, just to clarify, just having that humility, though, it's a good trait to have. It is an important trait to have for us to grow spiritually. But it is still devotion that we need to have. It is still
like on top of that humility, you do need. I just wanted to clarify that.
Mm. Yeah, so humility is a devotional attitude. So it's a devotional quality. But they have to perform devotional service itself. Yeah, devotional, the things that you do.
Yeah.
Doing and, you know, so the humility is part of the consciousness. And then there's, of course, the activity itself. Krishna says, you should act. We're telling Arjuna, you have to act. You're trained and you have to perform your duty. So that, the duties are there. That doesn't get taken away. You have to perform that. But you have to perform it in that mood of humility, understanding who devotees are. They are a ticket back to the spiritual world. They really are a ticket. When you're slowing down and the body is getting ready to, you know, breathe his last few breaths, they are the ones that come to chant for you to remember Krishna so you can go back to Krishna. You should look at them. So we have to be careful in dealing with them. And if you're careful, you will naturally be humble. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, what you were saying about humility and not being proud, but I was thinking as you were saying that sometimes it may still be easy for us to be humble and try to think of ourselves as not knowing as much, but so much harder to control that urge to criticize, to see faults in others. Which is even more dangerous, which is more, that nature, the tendency to criticize it's easier to find faults in others. And
it doesn't mean that you won't notice that the faults are there, though. It doesn't mean you won't notice them.
Yes.
Talking about them with someone and not providing any solution at all to it. That is criticism, because the person doesn't gain anything and you don't gain anything. You make yourself negative, unhappy, and the person is not going to change because there was no effort to try to change that person.
Yeah.
So, faults, noticing faults, we're there to help each other. We're there to help each other to grow. Grow from where? Well, because we have faults, that's why when you get away from a fault, then we're growing. So that's going to be noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Noticing someone's fault does not mean you're criticizing. Speaking about it and doing nothing about it, that's criticizing. That you don't do. So if it bothers us so much that the person is acting in a certain negative way and they need, the urge to help that person be a better person, then you need to take action. Either if you can approach that person, if the person is respectful to you, you can use mild words to bring up certain things. Or you can help by talking to someone that they respect and telling them how you feel about the situation so that person can also help them. Then you're taking action. You're taking action. So when you go to talk about something that needs to be done about that person's lower nature, at that time you're trying to help that person. So you're not criticizing, you're doing something more constructive at that point. So that's helpful. But we will notice left and right. Notice, you will notice. Definitely notice. No question. Hare Krishna. So Ram Shyam Prabhu?
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Very nice session today. Really wonderful. So I don't have any question, just for the comment. Just wanted to appreciate for the class, the way you started, all the time we have to remember Krishna, as you told, like the pastimes of the Krishna, Janma Karma Cha Me Adibhyam, to just glorify Krishna, to understand Krishna, the Janma Karma, the birth and the activity, so that will, give us the liberation. So, like the further, they are in the same Bhagavad Gita, same chapter, Krishna says, Antkale Cha Mameva. So, by doing that, remembering the Krishna, the birth, activity, pastimes, and remember at the end of his life as well. And as you told, Naham Tishtami Vaikunthe, just when you quoted, so that means Krishna is saying that I am not sitting in the Vaikuntha. I'm living within you. Like we are discussing about Krishna. So we are Krishna is in the name form. He is in the Naam Rupa. So we are seeing the Krishna because we don't have transcendental eye. Even though Krishna appears here, we can't see him. So we can see the letters of the Krishna which is in the form of the name. So very nicely you described, Prabhu. And the last topic which was going about the humility. So what I understand about that is when we do these all things, whatever so far discussed about the Krishna pastime activity and chanting, so when we do properly, the humility and all over the period of time, byproduct it comes. So that's the it depends upon our sadhana, how much I do the sadhana. Accordingly, the humility will be keep on coming as the byproduct. So that is not a special exercise we have to do for that. We have to just keep on doing the, as Prabhupada said, like 99% depends upon the chanting. So as, we do our, chanting, the good chanting, offenseless chanting, so that will be great. So, thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you for your comment. And, Srila Prabhupada did in fact say when we chant and we chant offenselessly, which is something we have to work on, many of us, because our minds sometimes roam. Yes, and in general, offenses also. We just be careful not to be offensive to devotees. That's what we're describing. Yes, take the sadhana seriously, and as long as we're not offensive in the sadhana itself and how we relate to devotees, then yeah, humility, it's in all of them. So what we're talking about was some examples, specific examples, but they're all, summed in the point that's just made. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. So we can end the class here today and we'll meet again tomorrow morning at 7:50.
Vancha kalpa chulubhishthi.
Yeah, and also 5 o'clock today we will have our happy hour. So see you all.
Jai. Jai.
Jai.